Welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is always sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. I'm definitely not the, I guess I don't have it down yet after 60 million times. So Coins Plus has been in business about 20 years, 20 plus years, two decades, buying and selling all forms of precious metals, rare coins, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We've tried to place ourselves at the front line of fairness and honesty and integrity, really working with the investor to build portfolios. And I will admit, over the years, we've evolved. And how have I evolved? I mean, believe it or not, over the years, I've evolved where I charge less and less and less. I mean, it's just, I guess, to be completely candid, over the years, God's been very good to me. And we've had, you know, some pretty big boom times. And because God's blessed us, I'm less and less inclined to focus on the financial part of it. My real heart is to help you preserve and protect your finances. Now, that's where my real heart and soul lies. I believe in what we do. I really believe in the Bible. I believe in God. I believe in his simplicity. I believe that he has, you know, an exceptionally complex existence on this earth for us, on one hand. But on the other hand, I think when it comes to his basic precepts, I think he's very simple. One of those precepts would be investment advice and guidance, which is precious metals, hard assets based. God established, you got to think, I've said this over and over, but think about it. Genesis chapter 1, God creates the entire universe. He describes, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then you get to the now, the earth was without form and void, tohu and bohu, and then people get into arguments whether it was all done at that time or later or what. But the truth of the matter is, I personally think that in the original Hebrew manuscripts, they do have the preface word now, meaning the 6,000-year-old earth theory, I know, is a popular one with believers, and they say, look, that's what the Bible says. And I didn't mean to get off on this topic whatsoever, but it isn't what the Bible says. The Bible just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, now the earth was without form and void. Okay, it doesn't say when. It doesn't say how long it'd been. And when you get into, one thing I've done probably too much study of is Jewish, the Jewish belief system. Okay, because when you get into the Old Testament, I mean, yeah, we're Christians and we are the, you know, we're worshiping and following the fulfillment of the Old Testament. But the bottom line is, when it comes to Old Testament understanding, who better to go to than a Jew? I mean, they're the ones that understand it. They're the ones that wrote it. And you know, it's their bloodline, especially the Levites, that had the, and of course some other prophets, but basically that had the inspiration to write it. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. When you really read this, I mean, it's not, you'd have to say, okay, here's the concept, right? Think about this. So we have a fallen universe, okay? Once man sinned, everything began to decompose. The second law of thermodynamics came into play. When you look at Genesis 1, verse 2, it says, when it says the earth was formless and void, okay, formless is tohu, void is bohu, okay? Those are Hebrew words that literally mean vain, okay? Tohu means vain, confused, empty, destroyed, a wasteland, a place of chaos, a place of vanity, you know, wilderness, empty place, waste, etc. Okay. So that's tohu. Okay. Then bohu, Let me find it void here. 922 Strong's number. Bohu is, boy, that's a simple word. It just means emptiness, void, or waste. Okay, so let's see. Let's see if this is how you understand. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was a destructive, chaotic wasteland mess, completely destroyed in vanity. And is that how God created the universe? No. How about when did things begin to degrade and fall apart? You know, when sin was committed. And we know that on the earth, that's when things began. You know, you can get real philosophical here. There were beings before us, right? Lucifer, right? So did Lucifer fall before or after man was created? I mean, we assume he fell before, but it may have been in conjunction with. We don't know. I believe he fell before man was created, possibly. I don't know. There's some really interesting reading and studying in there that the creation of man may have been what led to his fall, because at first it said the hosts cried out from the heavens, you know. When man was created, they rejoiced, right? And then all of a sudden, something really ticked Lucifer off, and then the big fight broke out. He found out Jesus, the Son of God, was going to save mankind, maybe, that we were redeemable. I don't know. But something caused a wasteland on the earth. There's all kinds of crazy, you know, there's pre-flood stuff. There's all kinds of theories about different beings that might have been here before. You know, the dinosaurs. I mean, you know, the dinosaurs, I don't know if you realize, they don't work in our atmosphere. Do you realize that? I mean, most people aren't aware of that, that they could not. That's one of the big arguments about them, is that in our current atmosphere, they're too heavy. There's too big of a span between their legs. They would drag. They would not, a lot of them would drag their stomach so bad they would be high-centered. They'd get stuck. So obviously there was a different atmosphere. Even complete non-believer scientists are more likely to admit there was a different atmosphere than believers. But when our Bible says that there was a firmament above and a firmament below, it tells us that, you know, that mist came up from the earth to water the plants. It tells us that it never rained before. We had all the cosmic rays blocked out by this firmament above. I mean, I really would like to see what the earth was like then. You know, when you dig down, even underneath the ice of Antarctica, they basically find palm trees that are frozen green. So something hit hard and something hit fast, and it changed the nature of the earth. So all I was getting at there, and goodness criminy, who knows why I went off on such a tangent, but all I was getting at there is the fact that the 6,000-year-old earth theory is tough. Now, if you talk to like a Kent Hovind or whatever, who I have, actually, I admire his brilliance. He went to prison for not paying taxes years and years back because he was paying his people cash as gifts of love. And that's debatable whether he was right or wrong. They got him because he was always withdrawing less than 10,000 cash from the bank. And they tried to get him with, you know, structuring or whatever, and he wouldn't, you know, he just wouldn't play the game with them. And so they won because they're bigger and stronger. And then he got out later, and I think it kind of hurt his reputation. But I went and saw him speak one time for a seminar. Brilliant man. Probably the best. And we got into this discussion back then. And he was a 6,000-year earther, I think. And very, you can tell it's the same as the pre-trib rapture thing. When you get into the pre-trib rapture with somebody, if they believe in pre-trib rapture and you start to discuss scripture just to discuss it, they become angry. When people become angry in a discussion over a belief system or overbearing, it's either they either don't have anything to add, or they're afraid you're going to change their mind. And Kent Hovind became very frustrated as we discussed this. Just as when I talked with Tim LaHaye about pre-trib rapture, he became very disgusted with me, you know, because, of course, he was somewhat superior to me because he'd written 7 books on, you know, Left Behind or whatever. which they tried to make movies out of, which all flopped because they're just it, when you see it in reality, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, planes falling from the sky, and it just is so not God. But my point was that, you know, you don't need a 6,000 year Earth theory to make the Bible work at all. In fact, you, in order to have a 6,000 year Earth theory, you have to say that God made the Earth imperfect. He made it chaotic. He, you know, the words tohu and bohu are very destructive. It's like if you went through a house and smashed and destroyed, and, you know, if you look at the other areas in the scriptures where those words are used, they're very, you know, they're used in very harsh statements, you know. It says, in Isaiah, it says, he will stretch, basically, God will destroy, he says, you know, God will destroy whatever it is, any, but pelican and hedgehog will possess it, the owl and raven will dwell in it, and he will stretch over it the line of complete and total desolation and the plumb line of emptiness, which is bohu. You know, he'll destroy it. Jeremiah, I looked on the earth, and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. In Jeremiah, it's interesting because there is supposedly people. Now, in Jeremiah, this is now I'm, okay, here we go. Now we get to go on, let me see something here. Suddenly my tents are devastated, my curtains are. Now we get to go on a little tangent, and I'm not prepared for this, so I'm going to read some scripture, and this may have what I think it has. It may not. So we're in Jeremiah 4. For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children and have no understanding. They're shrewd to do evil, but to do good they do not know. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. Okay? I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. So basically, the whole earth is formless and void. The heavens are black. The whole earth is quaking, right? Tectonic something. I looked, and behold, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. Okay? So now there's no man. He's talking about a time when there was no man on earth. This is not the great flood. He says, I looked, and behold, there was no man. The word for man here is Adam. There was no human beings. No, and Adam means men, man, person, you know, common, you know, homo sapien, whatever, human being, mankind, first man, city, you know, whatever. That's, he's saying now, he's looking at a time when there was no man. And it says, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were pulled down before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not execute a complete destruction. Now remember, this is, he's talking about looking at the whole earth, right? I looked on the earth, and it was formless and void. And he says that where were we here? Yet I will not execute a complete destruction. For this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above be dark, because I have spoken, I have purposed, and I will not change my mind, nor will I turn from it. At the sound of the horsemen and the bowmen, every city has fled. They went to the thickets, they climbed the rocks, the city is forsaken, no man dwells in them, all men are gone. And you, O desolate one, what will you do? Although you dress in scarlet, although you decorate yourselves with ornaments of gold, although you enlarge your eyes with paint, in vain you make yourself beautiful. Your lovers despise you. They seek your life. For I heard a cry as a woman in labor, the anguish as one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion gasping for breath, stretching out her hands, blah, blah, blah. And it talks about a time when the earth was wiped out. So there's people that get into, you know, did Lucifer have a reign on this earth before man? I mean, was this his? We know it's his domain. The Bible tells us the earth belongs to the devil, right? I mean, look at when he he tried to give Christ full reign over everything. He, you know, Christ never debated that he could give him control of everything on the whole earth. This is why so many people in rock and roll, deep, deep, dark rock and roll, they sell their souls. I mean, it, you know, Hollywood's filth because it's, you know, there's fortune and fame. It's kind of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing, you know. And I mean, we're human. And I will tell you, folks, it's easy to judge those who, you know, do that stuff. But at the same time, you know, we don't know what it's like. I mean, we've never, at least I don't know about we, I can't say we. I don't have a crazy talent where I can stand up at a microphone and start singing and, you know, and transform people's hearts. Now, of course, if I did, I would sure hope that I used it for the glory of God, right? But when you're given these gifts, these talents, what, you know, the Bible's very clear that so many of these people just absolutely, the one talent people, they just blow it, right? And so it's, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, whether when you're put in a certain situation, you know, whether someone's stupid to sell their soul. I mean, obviously they're stupid, but who's to say we wouldn't do the same thing? And what's interesting more so is the number of people who sell their soul for something they never get. Folks, you got to look at your lives and think about that. What are your priorities, okay? Guys, there's guys out there that are into pornography, okay? That just, they, you know, they look at it, they, you know, whatever. The truth is, those women would never give you the time of day. Secondly, a lot of them are sex slaves. A lot of them are very rough criminal types, you know, and I mean, it's not that, you know, it would matter, but the point is, you know, it's all fantasy. You're selling your soul for something that you would never get or have. And it's the same with money. That's why I don't like some of these, you know, multi-level marketing schemes, because what they say is, money will make you happy. If you had more money, you'd have more time. If you have more time, you're going to be more. Or they'll say money will give you whatever you want it to give you. So whatever you think you need, whatever you think you don't have, these multi-level marketing groups will tell you, well, that's exactly right. We can give that to you. Well, what's that like? That's the devil, right? You're going to chase money now with one of these organizations. You're going to literally sell your soul. The divorce rate in one of the biggest multi-level marketing organizations is tremendously high. Why? The pressure's too great on the family, on the marriage. It's a pressure to perform. And these people go to these functions and they're told what? You know, you're not succeeding because you're not trying hard enough. Well, these people wish hard, they want money. Money becomes their idol, okay? Now, money cannot... You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And the Bible's very clear. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, now mammon is a very important word to understand because it's not what you're thinking. It's not just money. Mammon is the whole concept and spirit of man-made money. What really encompasses mammon, folks, is fiat currency. The currency that our society runs on right now, that is mammon. It's man-made money. It's backed by nothing. It's of no real wealth. It's a faith system. It's a con job, okay? And here's, you know, just as an example, if I come to you and I convince you that I have a rare piece of art worth $4 million and you believe it to be that, you'll pay me $4 million. It's not worth $4 million, but you believe it's worth $4 million, and therefore you treat it as if it's $4 million. But the fact of the matter is it's not. And the minute you realize it's not, what is it worth? Zero. The same thing goes with our money. We have what's called the Bretton Woods Act, enacted back in the 50s or late 40s, which basically forced the world to use our dollar as the gold standard for the oil bourse trading. Miraculously, we've been able to maintain that position. That is an absolute miracle. There is no country in history that is, well, that's probably not true. Rome. Rome is the only country that lasted as long as we have on a pure fiat currency system. But why? Because they were out. They're different than us. They were out consuming. They had slaves. They were making, well, sorry, I bounced back and forth. No, they weren't. Actually, interesting, you know, people don't realize we have 12 districts in our U.S. They're broken to 12 districts. That's why your paper money has letters from A through whatever it is. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. A through L, 12 districts. And we tax based on district. Guess what Rome had? 12 districts. Did you ever see the movie The Hunger Games? Same thing. It was based on a combination of Rome and the U.S. sort of concept. And so they taxed and they taxed and they taxed. They planted decapolises in each of the districts. Of course, we have capital buildings, right? We have our Federal Reserve banks. Each district gets a Federal Reserve bank. Each district gets a capital building what do you call them? I don't know what they call them. It's the same system, and it is designed to consume. One thing that is quite frank that I've discussed is John Maynard Keynes' quote about the confiscation of wealth. He basically says the best way, let me see if I can pull it up, to destroy the capitalist system. Let's see if I can find it here. Keynes, the best way unveiled. Okay. Let's see here. Where is it? I don't know. He quoted, you know, basically he said the best way to destroy the capitalist system is to debauch the currency, which in other words, incompetent central bankers are a communist best friend. The whole concept is hyperinflation. Because hyperinflation breaks down markets and breaks down the classes. Do you hear me? It breaks down the classes. Business can't plan beyond today if they don't know what money will be worth tomorrow. And technically, there's a lot of that. They have to calculate in. I have a good friend who runs a massive corporation, massive. And when he budgets now this year, he had to budget for 4 Federal Reserve rate hikes, which was going to cost the company huge money. Like he was saying, like $500 million just in interest hikes. The idea is, I mean, hyperinflation breaks down the markets. It destroys. And a collapsing currency turns what they refer to as the bourgeoisie into the proletariat. Okay. That's, you know, it's ultimately it leads to a revolution. I mean, that's what it's supposed to lead to, but we're being put to sleep by television, you know, and you go back and you look up Lenin's quotes and some of the things he said that he thought hyperinflation was the best way to destroy capitalism after the revolution, because the revolution wouldn't be enough itself. The profit motive would survive even if the bourgeoisie state did not, and even if the socialist state tried to outlaw it. The only way to kill the profit motive was to kill profits, and that meant killing the very concept of money itself. And back in 1919, Lenin said this is how he's doing it. He said, hundreds of thousands of ruble notes are being issued daily by our treasury. This is done not in order to fill the coffers of the state with practically worthless paper, but with the deliberate intention of destroying the value of money as a means of payment. There is no justification for the existence of money in the Bolshevik state, where the necessities of life shall be paid for by work alone. Okay, so what do we want? What do we want? I mean, do you know that the Bernie Sanders crowd was getting to this extreme where they were saying, we want socialism, communism. We want the government to take over everything. To absolutely, you know, take over. We've got 47% of the people already on the dole. Believe it or not, making that comment is what caused Mitt Romney the election. You know, the sad thing is if Mitt Romney would have won, we would have never found out the corruption of Obama and Clinton. However, doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? I mean, look at where we're at right now. We just had the IG report come off, the Inspector General, on the FBI that just lambasted it. You know, you look at the highlights of the IG report on the FBI during the, you know, with Clinton and the campaign. And I mean, it is unbelievable. This is stuff that doesn't happen in America. I mean, it does not happen in America. Okay. But folks, I'm telling you, you live in a new land. I don't care what you say or what you think. It lists out all these texts between the FBI lovers, this Strzok, which is Strzok, and Page, were, you know, basically this disappointing, I guess, I don't know, completely corrupt. They absolutely admit that they compromised the integrity of the entire Clinton email probe, that they went out with the absolute intention of exonerating her. She should have been indicted. There's no doubt about it. I mean, she did terrible things, folks, you know, and everything was anti-Trump between special counsel Lisa Page, FBI director or deputy assistant director Peter Strzok. It damaged the integrity of the entire Clinton email probe. It goes on and on. These two were texting each other on government devices. Strzok vows to stop Trump from being elected just months before the presidential election. The IG found that Page asked Strzok that, you know, Trump's not ever going to become president, right? And Strzok replied, no, no, he won't. We will stop him or stop it. So Horowitz noted that there's no available evidence, blah, 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 you know, and they just covered their tail. There's also five other unnamed FBI employees, including one lawyer who is working now on the Mueller probe for this baloney Russia collusion. They're under scrutiny for their anti-Trump bias. But the FBI director, folks, there's too much power there. This goes all the way back to Deep Throat under Nixon. Okay, Nixon got taken down by an FBI informant who was ended up being the director of the FBI. Dirty, dirty man. Apparently, it's a position of power. James Comey has followed in the footsteps of Deep Throat. I can't remember the name of the director, to be honest with you, but it, you know, they make the guy sound like he was great. Because why? Oh, because Nixon was conservative. Watergate, this blows Watergate out of the water. There's so much anti-Trump bias in all this communique. That during the Clinton email probe, they just were doing everything to prop her up. They were afraid, frankly, that, you know, they were afraid they'd have to get a new candidate. And the anti-Trump media right now is ignoring the largest story of their lifetime. You know, we have like with Clinton, remember when Donna Brazile, her campaign manager, wrote a book. I mean, they're so brazen, folks. They just brag about what they did. Donna Brazile comes out in a book, admits that Hillary fixed the election against Bernie Sanders. The guy that was suspected of the DNC leaks was killed randomly, accidentally walking down the street in a drive-by shooting that was never solved. Baloney. What's his name? The guy that runs WikiLeaks. I can't think of his name right now. WikiLeaks is the one that let a lot of this stuff out. And of course they act like WikiLeaks, like he's just a big traitor. You know, the guy's treasonous. And Julian Assange, he is not a traitor, folks. Granted, I wouldn't do what he's done, but you know, he's called to be out there. Our whole world, our understanding of the NSA has changed because of people like him. And then, you know, and they know the system. I mean, they know the system does not work properly. So this whole concept of, well, if he'd have just gone up the chain, no, they'd have got crushed, they'd have got framed, and they'd have got locked up is what would have happened. And so this is the world we live in. If some, you know, there's always people that are just called out to speak up, and, you know, they're called by it. And what a tough place to be put in. And the entire, you know, media, the anti-Trump biased media, which is unbelievable, destroys these people at a level that they'll never recover. I mean, you got one of them hiding out. I can't believe who's the NSA leaker. Oh, my brain. I'm sorry. He's hiding out in Russia, and Julian Assange is in Ecuador or something, and they took away his internet. And, you know, I don't know. But basically, eventually, our government wants our hands on him. Why? Because he took government secrets and let him out. He was a whistleblower. So is he a bad guy? I don't think so. And, you know, he's never been proven to be a liar. He's never been proven to be wrong. He's never once proven to have wrong information. Everything's documented. And he says that none of the DNC leak came from any Russian officials. They've created this ridiculous Russian collusion that they just keep banging over the heads of the people. You turn on these other stations, there is deep state corruption. Like they say, the deep state. Okay, this is what we feared. This is what you see in the movies. This is people with power and corruption. I remember when I met with John Boehner when he was the Speaker of the House years back, and they had so many investigations and scandals around Obama that none of us ever heard of, because he said every one of them was blocked at the state level. I meant the Department of the State. He said, and then he went into these secret societies. I mean, folks, this is real. Think about this. They literally, right now as we speak, they go to schools and they find kids that are outstanding performers. They get them in these little secret societies and they put them in these private schools. They go, think about it. If your kid was smart, you know, and let's say you're black, because the truth is that's where what most of these are. They're Hispanics, they're minorities, and they're in poor parts of town. They don't get these kids from the better parts of town. So you're in the ghetto, you're in the projects, and your daughter's really doing good in school. And all of a sudden, the school calls and says, hey, they want to test your daughter for a special program for private schooling, blah, blah, blah. It's this program or that. And it basically, you know, they take these kids and they give them scholarships and they put them through these extremely expensive, high power private high school. They put them into college. They get them a law degree, blah, blah, blah. So they get these kids. They put them through these private schools, of course, with extreme liberal agenda. Sometimes they send them to even places, you know, like Oxford and things, just like Clinton was sent there. He was part of this program. And then they go through and they give them a specialty in an area of like law that they need them. And as soon as they get out, they are plugged into a specific spot in our government, and they're brainwashed and they're designed. They're Manchurian employees. They're designed to protect the deep state, to work and operate for the deep state. And so John Boehner was saying that when you'd go, you'd file these reports. I mean, look at this stuff, the FISA warrants that they got, lies, you know. I mean, these judges, you know, they're corrupt. The FBI, corrupt. They lie to get these FISA warrants from these judges so that they can wiretap the entire Trump campaign. I mean, folks, if God wasn't on Trump's side, then God's never been on anyone's side. Trump had the entire system against him, okay? There is a name, and his name is Trump. Trump means final overriding factor or resource. There's something about the guy. Long term, I don't know what's coming, okay? I don't know. But I do know for the short term, God put Trump in office. There's a lot Trump doesn't understand, and there's a lot, and he's a sharp man. I think he learns quickly. Obama was slick. You know, Obama was grease lightning. I mean, I'll admit that guy was smooth as glass, but he was an anti-American, at least from my perspective. He wanted to elevate and prop up all these needy special rights groups. He had gone to the church of, whatever it was, Reverend Wright, Reverend whatever Wright, you know, that said, not God bless America, GD America, you know, our roots, our whatever they say, our, I don't know, there's a saying about the roosters coming home, or the chickens are coming home to hatch, or whatever. He basically said, we're reaping what we've sown. We're a corrupt country. We're a bad country. We're evil. Obama sat and listened to this for 20 years. And then when it all came out, he said, oh, I don't know nothing about it. You know, lies. He gets the anti-Trump media, the corrupt propaganda machine to back him up. So Donna Brazile said Hillary fixed the election against Bernie Sanders, right? So, and we know that Sanders would have been crushed, but that's the bad part about it. So Hillary gets the nomination. They go out and get the Steele dossier, which is a phony lie dossier, all from Michael Steele, a British spy who was supposedly a Russia expert. And he comes up with this $6 million dossier, which the FBI paid at least half of. Right. And then it, folks, and just, you know, so you say, okay, so they had the dossier. The dossier is this big write-up of terrible things about Trump that were just horrible, saying that he was participating in these graphic, rude, sick, disgusting sexual acts in Russia. And, you know, they had Carter Page, I think, or Carter, I'm sorry, today the names aren't coming. And this guy had traveled to Russia. That's the only evidence they had when they finally looked into it, that they used the fact that they could prove that he traveled there and founded everything else for a FISA warrant, okay? And from that point forward, they just got everything they wanted against Trump. Well, a law 52 USC, I think it's 32101 and 32102 or something like that, it makes it illegal to trade anything with foreign nationals in connection with an election. So for Hillary to pay Michael Steele, and of course they did it through these secret channels, through law firms and all this, number one, that's illegal. Number two, it's also, according to 52 USC, illegal to file misleading campaign reports, right? So obviously the dossier was misleading. It was a lie. The FBI didn't admit it. You know, they covered up the email scandal. Hillary had her email scandal. She deleted and bleach-bitted 33,000 emails after they were subpoenaed. They were told to turn in all of their phones. The phones were turned in, crushed and destroyed, with the SIM cards missing. You know, Comey changed the charges and covered for Hillary as well, because they all thought she was going to win. So they all got in. You know, they all got in on it. They all thought, well, they're lining their future. They all thought, well, you know, we're setting ourselves up to make money in the future, or to, yeah, money, power. Power becomes money, etc. Other stuff out of the IG report. So we got the five unnamed FBI employees. It says the damage caused by their actions in the IG report goes to the heart of the FBI's reputation for neutral fact-finding and political independence. They're just a lie. There's no independence there at all. An unnamed agent refers to Trump supporters as retarded and mock Trump voters and whatever else, you know, and they're, I mean, they, I don't know. I don't want to get into too much depth on this. The president, the third thing was that President Obama was one of the 13 individuals with whom Hillary Clinton had direct contact using her ClintonEmail.com account. So it's not like you didn't know. I mean, I not that I would justify it, but I was thinking, okay, if Hillary Clinton made up some weird, you know, name, just random synapse, you know, 123.com, and then she had a handle, you know, the Blue Lady or whatever, and it was used to do undercover emails so no one could trace them, and they hid the server in a house somewhere, but they were using what do they call it, where they bounce the IP addresses like Tor does it. I don't remember off the top of my head. This is like how many times do I forget things today? Let's play that game. So anyway, if it was all for a deep, not deep state, we don't want to say that. If it was all for clandestine, reasoning, maybe. Okay. But, and then, you know, nobody went after, well, people had been in it, but what's really bad is nobody had gotten to her emails until after they destroyed everything. Then I think a bunch of hackers were like, oh man, we could have had that. And they'd been in there, and if they would have just collected and made a blueprint, there was the guy that was in prison that said, oh, yeah, I was in her server, but I never made copies of the emails. If anybody had, well, if anybody had, they're probably dead, first of all. But if had they made copies of some of these emails, you know, probably admitted crimes that are so far beyond our wildest dreams. They've got the Clinton Foundation where they made $300 million and, you know, they were doing everything corrupt against, Trump. You had, the DNC chair was let go because of her corrupt emails against, Bernie Sanders. You know, it just goes on and on. I mean, and Obama was behind it all because they thought they were doing what's right. And that's one of the biggest problems that we run up against is you've got the left versus the right. The left believes in winning at all costs. The right believes in right and wrong. Okay. That's a huge conflict. That is a massive conflict. If you've got someone who wants to do the right thing and play by the rules and they really are seeking morality. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, the Republican Party is not what it was. And I had a talk a while ago with a Birch Society guy, and I was grumbling about the Republican Party. And he goes, what is it that you have? What problem is it that you have with the Republican platform? I said, I have no problem with the Republican platform. I have a problem with the Republican Party because the Republican Party is not following the Republican platform. Do you know, folks, in order to follow the Republican platform, we would have to go, we would have to eliminate the Fed, okay? And here, what's really sad that, you know, basically, you can say whatever you want about the Fed, but when you get close enough to destroy it, they're going to destroy you. John F. Kennedy is a prime example. He had an executive order drawn up on his desk, and I can't remember who his Secretary of State was, but they were trying to get him to sign that over and over. Well, he was preparing to sign it, actually. No. They were trying to stop him from signing it. The other one I was thinking of was Secretary of State William Sheehy, and he was also Chief of Staff for FDR. He had an executive order on FDR's desk that would give FDR full dictatorial leadership in the United States. FDR never signed it, but he was prepared to. So we've got Obama in the IG report as part of this whole mess, right? We've got, no one's going to be charged, folks. What have we become? What have we become? Think about it. You know, the IG notes that the FBI analyst and prosecutor too, you know, said former Barack Obama was one of the 13 individuals. The information shows that Obama knew about Clinton's private server. Obama's press secretary at the time quickly said the president was completely unaware. The IG report reveals the intelligence analyst questioned Obama and so on and so forth. So let's buzz through the rest of this. Despite Clinton connections, the former Assistant Attorney General Peter Kadzik and former Deputy Director Andrew McCabe should have recused themselves. They didn't. They were absolutely corrupt and as biased as you can get. And they stayed in because they wanted to just destroy Trump. So where do we end up? We're going into the midterm elections, okay? Here's what happens. Every time a party takes office, they lose their tails in the midterm election. This is the worst ever because they hate Trump's guts. I cannot even believe the way they talk about the President of the United States. I'm in shock, okay? It's sickening. And I honestly, there was a level of respect that you even had to show about Obama. I disagreed with Obama, but I would never do or say the things about him that people say. It is so troublesome, especially without any facts to back it up. The real problem that we've got is this Russia collusion is this huge red herring to keep the focus off of stuff. Andrew McCabe was corrupt as heck. The FBI agents were receiving all these improper gifts from reporters. And they were leaking from phones in the FBI headquarters, the IG found. I mean, they're leaking information, everything. So they basically have these false wiretaps, deceptively acquired wiretaps all over Trump. And then they're leaking all this information. And Trump's like, what is going on? Unbelievable. A fifth thing that was in there was the insubordinate ex-FBI director, James Comey, repeatedly violated policy and inaccurately described the legal situation around Clinton's emails. He's the one that came out and said, well, yeah, she was careless and all this, but, you know, it's not, and maybe a little negligent, but it's nothing that anybody would ever prosecute. My tail. We've got a laundry list of people, and they've come out with a young gentleman who took a couple pictures of the inside of a submarine because he was so proud of where he worked, and he did a year in jail. And Hillary, I mean, she had, I mean, the corruption's beyond ridiculous what she did, you know, as a state secretary of state. Unbelievable. James Comey had, you know, this strong desire. He did not want to confront authority figures with his concerns about their behavior, if he even had concerns. And so he went around the chain of command, violated longstanding departmental policies. He just had this arrogant power thing. He used his own personal, Comey was the FBI director. He used his own personal email account to conduct official business. And then he wrote, you know, all these, I mean, he actually wrote prime, he called in his own personal email, his to do official business, he called Trump a slime ball after meeting with him. He failed to act appropriately on his concerns about the airport tarmac meeting between Loretta Lynch and former President Bill Clinton, where they tried to claim that they just discussed their kids and all this other rubbish or grandkids. The IG's most substantial criticisms of Comey centered around his decision to stage a dramatic this news conference in the summer of 16, where he said no reasonable prosecutor would bring criminal charges against Hillary Clinton, even as he acknowledged she'd been extremely careless in her handling of classified information. No one told him to have that press conference. No one gave him permission. No one knew it was coming. He just wanted the attention. His unilateral announcement was inconsistent with department policy. You know, he had no right. He just has no right to make a suggestion to, especially on public grounds like that. The former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, she made terrible errors in the judgment during the Clinton probe. Why? Best friends, right? I mean, this is all coming out in the IG report. Seven was the FBI agent's actions surrounding the Department of Justice and FBI interview of Hillary Clinton were ridiculous and create the extreme bias. They sat down. They'd already determined the outcome. They didn't record anything. They didn't collect data. They didn't get the computers. They did nothing. It was not even an appropriate investigation. Why? Because they were afraid of her power. She was going to become president, and she would crush them all. Well, they, you know, both parties are, you know, definitely not too pleased with this thing, I think. But the fact of the matter is, I suspected once Trump got in office, he would be, I think what they were so afraid of is once Trump got in office, he'd be saying, you would not believe what they were doing here. And he'd start revealing all these truthful facts of this ridiculous stuff that they are doing. Well, yes, they did. He's done that to a degree, but it's all clouded by this fake Russia collusion trash rubbish, folks. And, you know, and all the attacks on him and his family and everything. We are sitting in a situation where we are as deep state Bolshevik USSR as can be. Only we have the media now, the free speech media, right? Anti-Trump free speech media. I mean, no matter how much corruption comes out about Hillary, what do? They come out and they go anti-Trump on everything. I mean, folks, that's a concern. This is a huge concern. So basically, this level of corruption has impermeated, penetrated our government. There is a true deep state. People in positions of power, the whole system is bad, okay? You get the left, the Democrats, crying Chuck Schumer, you know, from my perspective, you look at a guy like this and just from my perspective, from my life experience, from my discernment, I look at a man like that. I listen to a man like that. And I just feel and I see corruption. That's my opinion. He just seems like a very bad, immoral human being. And these people never agree with anything. It's politics. It's continuous. It's like Nancy Pelosi came out and said, oh, yippee, skippy, or whatever she said. Unemployment is down, you know, and she said, well, but the problem is It's not the fact that people are getting jobs. It's the fact that the jobs aren't good. Okay, well, she's right, but she would never say it if it was under the Dems. And that's the problem, is it's just all this constant spin. Along that line, real quick, something to consider. Economics, I have an extensive background in the study of economics. My whole perspective on it was changed by a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island, which we have in stock. It's a very thick book. At the front of the book, he says clearly, thick books never get read because no one has the time. He explains, J. Edward Griffith explains, that he wrote it deliberately so that there's an introduction and a summary to every chapter, and that each chapter, he says basically you can go through the whole book in an hour without, he's got the back of the book full of bibliography. The meat of each chapter has all the documents and all that. But basically, he's written the book so in an hour or ish, you can basically read and get the gist of the entire book, okay? So he comes out, that changed my whole perspective on economics for life, because it showed how the genesis of the Federal Reserve, the history of U.S. money, everything. Folks, where we are at, yeah, there's things that Trump is doing to reverse a lot of Obama's damage and all kinds of stuff on a global scale. The problem is Trump's tough. He's probably a little bit of a war hawk. Maybe not. He's a power negotiator. He knows how to play. He knows how people operate and how they think. You learn that with some street smarts. I believe, there's a number of people out there that have it. People with good street smarts don't always end up in office. The people that know how to suck up to everybody and make everybody happy are the ones that end up in office. As Jesus said, woe to you if everyone likes you because you're corrupt, basically. So, we've got a situation where, we've got Trump sitting there in office. We've got this midterm election coming up. Folks, they want to impeach him. So all this propaganda coming out from the left-wing propaganda ministry is essentially going, if they get these offices, they're going to try to impeach him. Then what? We'll just hope that God keeps that protective bubble over. But the one area that he is not touching, Trump is not touching money. He's not touching the Fed. He's not touching anything. He's jamming the markets up. Analysts left and right are saying, get ready for the big kaboom. There is nothing propping up the markets. The retail sale numbers are down. People don't have disposable cash. IRAs and 401ks are growing at the slowest level they ever have as far as new deposits. They've shown growth with market increases, but people are not putting money in them. Why? Because two reasons. One, they don't have it. Two, they're probably afraid of the height. Okay. But I'll tell you what, right now, you want to be smart. Simplistically, it's easy. You call Coins Plus at 444-0044. And we build you a portfolio. You build a savings account. Do you want your 401k and IRA secure and preserved for the future, biblically, for all time, all the way to the end when God says people will cast their gold and silver in the streets on the final days of wrath? Do you want that? Yes, you do. If you don't, you don't understand, okay? You want hard assets. You want to tuck this stuff away like I have and my family has and my friends have and $1 billion worth of clients have. Here at Coins Plus over decades, and do very well on it. I mean, you just park the money and you do well. It's yours. It's real. It's there. Okay. That's it. Simplistically, that's what you do. You obey the Bible. You just take this, you protect and preserve your money. Do not, folks, you might think you're but everyone says, well, I'm in a really conservative investment thing right now. Well, how's that doing? Well, it's going down. Why? Well, because the market's going up or whatever. I don't even know. I don't even care. But I can tell you, if you're in paper, folks, period, it will not last. Every man, woman, and child in America has $670,000 in debt. That means a family of four has about $2.65 million in debt. Guess what? That ain't getting paid off. Forget about it, okay? Get over it. Just realize it's going to last a while. Something's going to pop. Something's going to give. There's theorists that say we're going to war with Iran and they're keeping it secret. We're building a coalition with Saudi Arabia and Israel and the U.S. and something's going to happen with Iran. And then at that point, the barrels of oil are going to go through the roof. Saudi Arabia is going to make money. It's going to consume this phony taxing change that Trump put through. You know, Trump had a theory. It blew apart on taxes. They wouldn't allow it through because we're a socialistic country now. We got to be paying a 40%+ tax rate. And the bottom line is, it's simple for you to just call and let us build your portfolio. You got to give us a little bit of time. We've been moving a ton of stuff around, and it takes us a little bit of time to think. We build them from the ground up, precious metals at the base, pyramid, semi-numismatic in the middle. That's your circulated Morgans and nice, you know, pre-33 U.S. gold coins or collectible gold. And then at the top, we put in some, maybe some numismatic stuff. We've got some pretty cool numismatic stuff. There's some things that you want in there. I mentioned a couple shows ago, this Proof Deep Cameo, Franklin half dollars and things that are, you know, I have stuff like Proof 69 Ultra Cameo 1964 John F. Kennedy halves, the very first coins ever to come off the die. Unbelievable. I mean, I've got some that are literally $3,000. They're so perfect. They're certified by NGC. Their NGC price guide's like $3,400. We're selling them. I think I priced one for 26 or 27 or whatever. You know, we sell them at a discount. By the way, just as a weird, wild side note, I have an amazing 10-carat plus gold, white gold cross that I designed for my wife years back. It's got about $30,000 worth of diamonds in it. I'm going to put that on eBay at $15,000. If anybody's interested in that, it's the most incredible golden diamond cross you've ever seen. Unbelievable. 2.5 by 1.5 inches. The 2.5 includes the bail at the top, but that's quick information. Folks, have a great weekend. Excellent Father's Day. Thank God for fathers and our Father in heaven, correct? But folks, really, if you've been hesitating, just get it done. We've got good material. We've got good instincts. There is nowhere else to turn. The timing is right. Things are fair. Take care. God bless. Please have a wonderful Father's Day weekend. Thanks for tuning in and your support. God bless. Bye-bye.